An unexpected summer snowstorm derails the Kluane Chilkat bike relay. And Skagway Port Consultants recommend a $14.5 million ore dock modification. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. Cyclists were supposed to mark the 25th anniversary of the Kluane Chilkat International Bike Relay last weekend, but for the first time ever, the nearly 150-mile race from the Yukon to Haines was canceled when snow and slush compromised the safety of the course. Of the about 1,300 people registered, four braved the highly unusual summer snowstorm to complete the entire race. And as KHNS's Abby Collins reports, they did it on one wheel.
Saturday morning, racers staying near the starting line in Haines Junction in the Yukon woke up to snow and slush covering the ground and roads in the middle of June. Chip Lendy is on the race's board.
It's funny, I woke up about 2 a.m. and after hearing the rain pouring down on the hotel roof all night, woke up at 2 a.m. and it was dead quiet. And I thought, oh, good, the storm has passed and it's going to be beautiful.
But that wasn't the case. Lendy looked out the window to see a few inches of slush covering the ground. Lendy says it wasn't an easy decision for the board to make.
It was a very tough decision for the board. It's like having a wedding and you've done all this planning and then you have to cancel it. It's just it was very discouraging for everybody.
But for safety reasons, it was clear it was the right call.
It was completely obvious that we had to cancel the race there. And it was all for safety issues. They're just both for driving, both for the participants, the biking, the volunteers that would have to be manning those stages in that horrendous weather. We just couldn't do it.
But along the highway heading back to Haines, a tire track in the snow on the side of the road indicated someone hadn't given up. A four-person unicycle team decided to do the race anyway.
There were times when we're like, oh my gosh, what have we gotten ourselves into?
That's Ben Richardson at the finish line in Haines. He says eventually the snow and rain let up.
It broke. The weather broke for us. And I had my first little stint with some dry pavement, and that felt amazing. And we just kept on plugging away, you know?
The team UniQuest Yukon pedaled into Haines after around 13 hours alternating riders between the unicycle and a support car. Richardson, Ned Rosbicki, Nathan Hoover, and Jim Sowers left the starting line in Haines Junction a little early Saturday. At that point, they didn't know the race had been called off.
We found out the race was officially canceled at checkpoint 2.
That's Rosbicki. He says despite the cold and snow, they decided to keep going. Rosbicki points to Hoover and Sowers.
These guys are unicycle dignitaries, by the way. Okay. Nathan is one of the only people in the world who's pedaled on all seven continents.
And as far as we know, the first to do it.
Well, there were two of us.
And
but, yeah.
Jim has done epic trips around the world as well.
So this and is like nothing.
No, this was epic.
This was great. We never had such a wild
There is thing. No official unicycle category in the race. Rosbicki says after proving it can be done, they'd like to see one added next year.
Our humble request of the committee that runs this fine race is not that they send us all the prizes and ribbons, but rather just that they include a uni category in the future.
Lendy says that's something the board could consider.
Well, you know, this is a year first. We never thought we'd have to cancel a race. And I think we never, just like years and years ago, we never thought someone would be foolish enough to solo the whole thing. Now we realize that there are unicyclists that want to do it, so we'll have to discuss that.
Race coordinator Mike Kramer agrees. It's a discussion worth having. He says summer snow is not something organizers will worry about in the future.
I think we'll move forward with fair confidence that we shouldn't have to worry about snow every year for the bike relay.
Lendy and Kramer say they were not able to refund participants' entry fees, as everything was already paid for. Here's Lendy.
If we chose to refund the money, this would have probably been the last time we put on a race. It would financially cripple us that we couldn't do it next year.
As for whether next year will be a redo of the 25th anniversary race, that's something Kramer says is still under consideration. In Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
Skagway's most important economic sector, cruise ship tourism, is at risk. That was the message port consultants delivered to borough leaders last week. The consultants were hired to make a recommendation about what Skagway can do to ready its port for larger cruise ships by 2019. They're suggesting the municipality act as soon as possible on a $14.5 million modification to the ore dock. Skagway doesn't have time to spare. That's one key point from Moffitt & Nichols' Sean McFarlane.
The larger ships are coming to Skagway. And what is important to know and to remember is that if you're not able to accommodate these larger vessels, there's not a slightly smaller vessel waiting at anchor to come in if you can't accommodate that one. You will lose the business of these larger vessels. And there's not a do-nothing scenario for Skagway that results in the same level of visitors.
The time crunch had a strong influence on McFarlane and colleague Scott Lager's recommendation. They had to find a way for one of Skagway's docks to accommodate larger ships in less than 2 years. They looked at possible renovations to the railroad dock, ferry dock, and ore dock. The ore dock options rose to the top. McFarlane's team recommends a 50 by 175 foot floating dock be built to the north of the existing dock. It would go with a pedestrian drive down gangway. This renovation would allow the larger vessels to tie up there. The ore dock is already used for cruise ships, and it's caused concern for residents to have industrial and tourism uses so close. Visitors coming off the ship have to walk under the ore loader. McFarlane said that is a downside.
It's not an ideal place to bring people off in the middle of a facility and with other things going around like the ore operations and fuel trucks, et cetera, going by. It's very kind of difficult to separate the industrial and the tourist uses there.
Another potential obstacle is the longstanding contamination in the ore basin. But McFarlane said environmental regulators told his team that the work should be able to happen despite the contamination. But here's the main challenge. Skagway doesn't have full control of its port. It leases much of the tidelands to the largest tourism attraction in town, the White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. And that is why progress on the waterfront has stalled for years. In 2015, voters rejected a 35-year lease extension with White Pass that would have given the municipality access to complete a list of port renovations. In the about 2 years since then, port progress has been in limbo. That's why the borough hired these consultants. In order to construct the $14.5 million ore dock modification, the municipality will need White Pass's cooperation. Although the municipality owns the facility, it's part of the railroad's lease, which doesn't expire until 2023. Here's Lager.
We believe that it is within the best interests of White Pass to operate in good faith, to allow for that access to occur without any other means of agreements or requirements. We believe that this improvement is beneficial to all, that this improvement allows for increased passengers, which means increased rail ridership, and is beneficial overall to the community at large.
But Skagway Port Commission Chair Tim Borsey asked, what if the municipality doesn't find a path forward with White Pass?
Where we are now is we have all our eggs in the basket, and we're hoping that we're going to get there, and I hope we get there as well. But I don't see the fallback position.
Borsey said he would like to see a backup scenario in Moffitt & Nichols' final report. There is some indication that White Pass is ready to get moving on some kind of plan. Company President John Finlayson wrote a brief letter to the mayor and assembly last week. He says White Pass is working on its own proposal to address waterfront issues, which they plan to present to a borough negotiating team soon. Whether that plan is in line with Moffitt & Nichols' recommendation remains to be seen. The clock is ticking. McFarlane and Lager said in order to complete the ore dock addition in time for larger ships, the borough needs to start permitting and design work by late summer or early fall of this year. Even then, it's going to be tight. Now it's up to town officials to decide whether they want to move forward with the ore dock plan. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.